You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
And I would tell those players, go to another country and play football there. Then you don't have to come out. You don't have to come out for the anthem if you go to another country. You can, because the game's only played in this country. And if you can't respect this country, get the hell out of it.
September the 16th, 2020, those are the words of Mike Ditka, Hall of Fame coach, addressing the continuing protest happening on the football field. Well, of course, many sports are now wrapped up in protest. We're going to devote more time on this issue than I have previously. Have we reached a point where the protests are damaging themselves, where they're not doing any good, and, of course, are hurting the sport that the players make so much money in? And what's going to have to be the final resolution? Herschel Walker, former Hall of Famer, I should say former Heisman Trophy winner, asked a question which I think is very, very good. What is the end game at this point? We've seen various protests. We continue to see not only in pro, but in college and in high school. I think the message has been delivered. Do you continue it day in and day out? And some don't think it's enough. Some think it has to be done over and over and over and over. At what point, though, does it damage the sport and nobody watches? The NFL this last opening week was down considerable from the opening week last year. 8 million. Now, was that also the COVID issue in play? Was it because some teams weren't sure how they're going to put their games together? We know the NBA ratings are down in the dumps. We're going to get into that in more detail. But also last night, President Trump holding and taking a gamble, a town hall meeting in Philadelphia. I know some had, before he even appeared, had said it's going to be a loss for him. He can't possibly come out of this. Well, of course, the mainstream media, CNN in particular, immediately jumps on it, saying Trump fumbles with undecided voters. And the bottom line is, for him, was it any good or not to do the event? The polls continue to show Florida is a very, very tight race between Trump and Biden. Biden trying to appeal to Latinos. And he also did something as he was speaking to a group of Latinos that some are saying that was kind of a cringeworthy event. That's the way they're describing it. As he began to play a clip of a song, which I don't think he knows the lyrics, first of all. I'll bet he doesn't. I don't know if he came up with the idea or one of his staffers, but it was probably not a good idea. We're also going to be joined by Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation later. He just recently penned a piece about a link between a co-founder of Black Lives Matter and Communist China. What is the link? Does it tie to the organization or just the founder? How deep does it go? He's not the first to bring up this issue, but he decided to expand on it, and I want to hear his remarks and his thoughts. Because, again, how much of it is actually tied to BLM, or how much of it is tied to the leaders, and, in fact, is there a communist China connection? And then, of course, we have the coverage of the peace treaty signed with President Trump yesterday involving United Arab Emirates and Israel, Bahrain and Israel and the U.S. and other Middle East nations appear ready to line up and join in. And all this, of course, hopefully pushing for a true peace in the Middle East with Palestinians. But what happened yesterday, as that deal was underway, rockets got fired into Israel from a section of Palestine. There are many Palestinians who would probably just as much like to see peace as anyone else. But there are hardliners who say no way. And they're not going to be satisfied until Israel is decimated. We'll be getting into that as well. As you can tell, we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Oh, and don't forget, yes, we'll let you hear Jim Cramer call Nancy Pelosi Crazy Pelosi on air, live, and quickly stumble around trying to apologize. And she said, well, you just said it. I think you'll like that. Oh, and also, here's something you might want to keep in mind. Did you know Beethoven's Fifth Symphony is now considered possibly offensive? We've got a lot to cover. Gather around, let your family and friends know. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Coined the phrase, make America great again.
Right.
When has America been great for African Americans in the ghetto of America? Are you aware of how tone deaf that comes off to African American community?
Well, I can say this. We have tremendous African American support. You've probably seen it in the polls. We're doing extremely well with African American, Hispanic American at levels that you've rarely seen a Republican have. If you talk about make America great.
When was that great? Because that pushes us back to a time in which we cannot identify with such greatness. And I mean, you've said everything else about choking and everything else, but you have yet to address and acknowledge that there's been a race problem in America.
That is one of those addressing the president last night in his Philadelphia town hall meeting. And that was a condensed version. I had to tighten it up some. But I think you got the point. He continued to hammer the president. When has America been great for black Americans? Many might have their own perspective on that. You might be looking at it from your personal lens, regardless of your color, your religion, and so forth and so on. Or you might be looking at it at a broader picture that maybe, yeah, I know that I've been blessed, but others haven't. Or you may be looking at, yeah, I'm at the bottom and I don't see any way to get to the top. There is no doubt the facts exist as to what this president has done with the black minority unemployment level. You can't deny that. It's a clear fact. He brought it to the lowest level in history before the pandemic hit. And we're in the process of trying to rebuild it. And we're not just talking about low-paying jobs. We're talking about opening up jobs beyond where we were. He has done more, reference reform inside prisons, police reform you want, and you got reform inside prisons, which meant that a lot of those who were imprisoned have been released under this president, under his Reform Act, and most of the minority, because they were being held on charges and punishment that was onerous at the time and still is, and they were still being stuck there, and they hadn't done anything that bad. Now, they might have been pleading out to something lesser so they didn't face a greater crime. We don't know all the facts, but Obama did not do that. And you also had the historically black university colleges having to constantly come and beg for money, even during the Obama administration. Trump set up a cabinet-related position to recognize the historically black colleges and universities, so there was no more begging, so it can help work on getting funding for them on a continuous basis. So he holds this town hall meeting, and in Philadelphia, it's a blue city and a blue state. I'm looking at reviews, and of course, I want to give you the negative reviews. I can find the positive reviews, obviously, but I want to deal with the negative reviews. Scott Jennings, a CNN contributor, he said, Donald Trump's town hall with ABC News did not go well, although I give him credit for agreeing to a road game in a hostile gym. The president had a few decent moments in Philadelphia Tuesday, but the event showed he is simply better in a pugilistic debate with an opponent than he is in addressing individual voters in a town hall format. And then he added this, not that the negative interactions were all his fault. This was billed as a conversation with uncommitted voters, which is charitably baloney. Most of the questions were hostile. Several of the questioners quite clearly had no intention whatsoever of voting for Trump. He's at least being honest with that. Scott Jennings, in writing his opinion piece for CNN, saying it didn't go well, that if you believe they were basically looking at independent voters, that was not true. That's all right. They locked and loaded the audience with what they wanted. Now, the exchange you just heard the president have with one black man who raised the questions, said, when has America been great? When they finally concluded that clip, as CNN played it, on Don Lemon's show last night, he and another panel suggested, let me see, I believe from a newspaper editor, I want to say, well, I better not name the paper, I might be wrong, I can't recall at the top. But of course, they were laughing and joking and saying, Trump didn't answer any questions. All right, that's their perspective as well. Now let me look at another piece, this by Scott Collinson of CNN. He actually works for CNN. His viewpoint, reading opening line, President Donald Trump faced life outside his own political bubble on Tuesday, where his self-congratulation, buck-passing, audacious falsehoods conspicuously failed to meet the moment when he was confronted by undecided voters. This is an analysis. It's not to be considered a news report. You need to understand the difference, and I hope you do. I know we're not talking about fake news here. This guy isn't doing an analysis. It's not meant to be factual. It's his take on how he sees it, just as I was reading a moment ago from Scott Jennings. And what he said on everything, on Trump outside his political bubble, his self-congratulation, buck-passing, audacious falsehoods, obviously, again, his impression, conspicuously failed to meet the moment, accept it for what it is, but then he gets to this point where he's confronted by undecided voters. Again, you cannot believe those were undecided voters for the most part of that audience or those who got in front of it. But whether or not you watched it, it was obviously stacked against the president. And that was the whole question. Why should he do it? Does he get any value out of it? Does it hurt him or help him? That's still going to be coming in as to how it's going to play out. If those who were questioning him, for the most part, were considered undecided, well, I have a hard time believing they're all undecided, but let's let them make the claim they want. Let me give you one other response. Candace Owens, black woman, strong conservative Republican, And she was speaking on Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson tonight at the same time the president was doing his town hall meeting. And it's her opinion, as you heard the first question, or not the first question, but the question you heard on this program, when has America ever been great for black Americans? Candace Owens stated, America is not in a race war. And the media is trying to create that simulation to destroy the country. That's her opinion. Let me make it clear to you. I don't care what your opinion is, but if you're going to take one opinion and accept that, and you're not going to allow someone else to have their opinion, well, you tell me where you're being fair. I don't care which side you're on. I don't care if you're hard right. The other side, if they have an opinion, you disagree with it, but it's their opinion. If you disagree with Candace Owens when she says we are not in a race war, the media, the leftist media, is trying to create that simulation because they're after the destruction of America, and I truly and deeply believe that, that's her opinion. We reached a point in this country where you're just not allowed to have an opinion unless it's my opinion. That's why on this program, I try to give you a balance. Yeah, I give you my opinion. I definitely give you my opinion, but I always try to give you a balance on the other side as well. And you know, sometimes I have sound bites from the other side, and sometimes I just voice their statements. And that's why I wanted to make sure we heard not once but twice from the black man addressing President Trump in the town hall meeting last night, asking when is America, has it been great for black Americans? All right, let's look at what Biden was also trying to make some points last night. He was in Philadelphia. I'm sorry, he was in Florida. Trump was in Philadelphia. And going into Florida this week, he had said his mission is going to be to court Spanish-speaking voters. In fact, he said, my message will be, I'm going to talk about how I'm going to work like the devil to make sure I turn every Latino and Hispanic vote. The words of Joe Biden.
Look, Donald Trump has failed the Hispanic community time and time again, and that's not a secret. The Hispanic community, Latino community holds in their palm of their hand, the destiny of this country. You may not want to hear it, but it's true.
Now, one thing he said there, that the Latino Hispanic vote holds the destiny of this country in its hand. On one point, that basically says the black vote is of no value or not as important. Is that the way you read that? Let's hear it one more time. Joe Biden.
Look, Donald Trump has failed the Hispanic community time and time again, and that's not a secret. The Hispanic community, Latino community, holds in their palm of their hand, the destiny of this country. You may not want to hear it, but it's true.
All right. You make the decision. Is he basically saying that that's more important than the black vote? Now, he's got Kamala Harris on as the ticket to be his VP. Of course, they seem to be having a hard time deciding lately who's leading the ticket. She said it the other day. She said, in the Harris administration, and they quickly caught herself and said, working with Joe Biden in the Biden-Harris administration. And Biden himself said it just the other day. He said, in the Harris-Biden administration, he turned it around backwards as well. Now, if Joe Biden is talking about Florida, just Florida, the Sunshine State, saying that the Latino Hispanic citizens of that state hold the election in their hand because how valuable Florida is, then that kind of gets him out from under the claim, or the, I should say, the question, are you dismissing the value of the black voter? Many of Florida's Spanish-speaking residents arrived in Florida after fleeing socialist or communist regimes such as Castro's Cuba. So Biden has said Trump has more in common with Castro than with Churchill. again trying to paint him as a Cuban Castro supporter, Trump. In 2016, nominee Hillary Clinton beat Trump by more than 25 points among Florida's Hispanic voters, according to exit polls. Yet Trump still won the state. The latest polls right now, an NBC Marist poll issued last week, shows Trump holding a narrow lead over Biden in that demographic. Overall support in the state has the two in a deadlock. And I've got to share this with you simply because I like using the guy and I don't actually have the quote, so I'll just have to use my own impression, and that would be James Carville, Democrat strategist. He's talking about how desperate Trump is getting, and that's why he had to do that town hall meeting in Philadelphia, looking at that's only one way to get in there and get some attention. And here's what Carville said. He's desperate. Oh, yeah, I'm putting my accent on it. He's desperate because he knows he's going to lose. And when he loses, quite frankly, in my opinion, he's going to go to jail. And he knows that. James Carville. Trump is desperate. He's going to lose, and then he goes to jail. Well, now. Going to take a break when we come back. Biden tried to do something yesterday in Florida to make himself look cool to the Hispanic community. I think it blew up in his face. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here. All right. There you go. Dance a little bit, Joe. Come on. I tell you what, if I had the talent of any one of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation.
That was Joe Biden at a Hispanic Heritage Month event in Florida last night. And he wanted to do, he came out and opened up his cell phone, and there was light applause. I don't want you to get that impression that there was nobody there to support him. The COVID thing, you looked at the audience, they're scattered all around. And so don't take anything by that to judge it one way or the other. Yes, he does not attract the crowds that Trump does, but I don't know what their conditions were and how they controlled it. But anyway, he came out and opened up his smartphone and played that section of Despacito. That is a big hit song out by Puerto Rican duo Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. It topped the charts back in 2017, became the most viewed YouTube video of all time. It still holds that title with nearly 7 billion views. So he played that Spanish version of the song, which he did not play. There's some other very raunchy things, and things like, let me surpass your danger zones until bringing on your screams and you forget your last name. Someone thought that this would be a good idea because you're talking to Latinos. Play that music for them. Despacito means slowly, which is what Biden's been called by President Trump, Slow Joe. But then the lyrics of the song, some folks have had a really difficult time with because it's seduction of a woman by words of the song, or possibly some consider it to be a rape of a woman. Again, it's your perspective. A lot of folks like it. Sometimes folks hum along a song and they like it and don't really know the words. If they hear it in Spanish, they certainly may not understand it. They just kind of like it and go with it. But there's some of the things in there, like I just read, let me surpass your danger zones to make you scream, forget your last name. Come taste my from my mouth to see what it tastes like. I want to see how much love you can take in. Let's start slow, then wild. My only question is, do you think Joe knew the lyrics before he put it up there and played it? I'm going to take a bet that I think I would win. I'd say, no, he did not. But somebody said, hey, this song, I mean, it topped the Billboard charts, 7 billion views. They'll like it. They'll like it. Well, the audience wasn't that responsive at all. Trump held a Latinos for Trump event in Arizona Monday afternoon. He did not play that, thank goodness. I imagine Biden might be reconsidering, but then, like everything else in this campaign, it's there, it burns up, and you move on. Maybe to come back to haunt him, maybe not. The question exists, and it's been raised numerous times, and there's more supposed documentation of the founder of the Black Lives Matter, or the co-founder of the Black Lives Matter, is linked to Communist China. Mike Gonzalez is going to join us and give us his take. Standing up, standing by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We've had my next guest on previously. He's a senior fellow in Heritage Center for Foreign Policy. And he is born in Cuba. His family left Cuba when he was 12. So he also has some of that background and extent information as well. And we're waiting for him to call in any moment because, yeah, there he comes in. He's coming in now. So Mike Gonzalez, as I said, was born in Cuba. He certainly knows about the Cuban heritage and did leave the country at age 12, but still connected enough to understand what's happening. Mike, welcome aboard again, sir.
Larry, it's a great pleasure to be on with you again, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, before we get to the main subject at hand, did you see Biden, just before you joined us in the previous segment, we played Joe Biden playing a section of Despacito. You know, the big hit by Louis Fonsi and Daddy Kennedy or something like that. But I don't think he knew the words. He didn't know that some of the words were very sexual, and perhaps suggesting rape and the reaction. What, did you see that? Are you aware of that? What's your reaction?
I don't want to go there. It is a very... I'm pretty sure the former vice president did not know the meaning of the lyrics. Let's put it that way.
Now, that was kind of my thought, too, because but he did it. It was an effort, quite honestly, to pander to Hispanic and Latino votes in Florida. It didn't seem to be that well received among the group that was there. But this battle, before we get into the other topic, this battle for Florida, at last report, Trump had a slight lead in Hispanic votes, and another one shows that they could be tied. Biden said yesterday, the quote we ran from him, is that Hispanics hold the key to the next president in their hands. I don't know if he's talking about for the nation or just Florida. What's your quick take on Florida, how it stacks up?
Well, I wish I had more granularity on this poll. Hispanics is virtually meaningless. The last time, there was a Miami Herald poll 2 weeks ago where Trump had a 38-point lead with Cuban Americans. But Cuban Americans are no longer over 50% of the Florida quote unquote Hispanics, right? They're like 33%. They're a plurality. The swing vote in Florida would be Puerto Ricans in Central Florida, who are and even there they're very different from Puerto Ricans in New York and Hartford and Philadelphia, they're much more conservative, and they have voted in the past. For example, they voted for Jeb Bush as governor. They voted for Obama, but apparently they voted for Rick Scott in the 2018 election. They elected Rick Scott because they really liked Rick Scott, the things he had done for them. So this is a group, the Puerto Ricans in Florida. It's called the I-4 corridor between Tampa and Orlando, and that is really the key. So with the Cuban Americans, I mean, like, they're super conservative, right? That 38-point lead, you can't get any higher than that. So I'd love to see people talk about the Hispanic vote that is non-existent. I'd like to see some granularity on that. But until we see that, you know, it is what it is. We have what we have.
Okay. All right. Well, now I want to get to the subject of a piece you wrote for the Daily Signal. And the title, folks, is "This BLM Co-Founder and Pro-Communist China Group Are Partnering Up, and Here's Why." Let me read one line. Go to the website for Black Futures Lab, a venture of Black Lives founder, Alicia Garcia. Click on the donate button. It will ask you to send your money to an obscure organization, the Chinese Progressive Association, explaining that, quote, Black Futures Lab is a fiscally sponsored project of the Chinese Progressive Association. What the hell does all that mean?
Okay, so what it means is the Black Futures Lab is an asset, is one more venture of Alicia Garza. Alicia Garza is really Black Lives Matter, right? She founded Black Lives Matter along with other two women, Patrice Couleurs and Opal Tometi. She runs the organization. We're talking about organizations here, right? Not the slogan, not the sentiment. The sentiment we all agree with, Black Lives, of course, matter greatly. It's the organizations. These three women are Marxist, and that's not me, Mike Gonzalez, saying that to Larry Connor. They say that. You know, they say they're trained Marxists, and indeed they were trained in the case of Patrice Couleurs. She was trained for 10 years in the Labor Community Strategy Center set up by a former weatherman, Eric Mann. In the case of Alicia Garza, who's the one really the most important of the three, she sits atop a global revolutionary empire, right, with chapters not only just all over the United States but all over the world. If you wonder why there were massive demonstrations in London and Paris and statues toppled in Europe because of something that happened in Minneapolis, that is the reason why.
Well, let me clarify something very quickly.
Yes.
Her relationship and this Black Futures Lab, does that say Black Lives Matter has ties to Communist China and the Communist Party?
Well, so this group, the Chinese Progressive Association, has partnered with the communist government many times. From its inception in 1972, it has really pushed the Beijing line, the line of the Communist Party.
Mike, I'm sorry, I want to bear down on that point. Could someone say Black Lives Matter is involved with the Communist Chinese Party?
I can't say that. I can say that it is involved with an organization that has been a partner with the Chinese government, that has promoted its line, has promoted its ideas here in the United States, and that is the Chinese Progressive Association. It was set up from the beginning to really promote the People's Republic of China, that is Communist China. So if you have to think, if the reverse were taking place, right? If we had far right demonstrators trying to set up an ethno state, and one of the organizers of these protests was seen to have a connection with an outfit that did business with Vladimir Putin, this would be a scandal.
Now you nailed that. You're absolutely right. You nailed that. If you look at it from the other side, it would be major news on every mainstream media channel. What you're discussing here, I haven't seen anything from the other side.
Right. Right, and I know that, for example, the Federalist today has a story. A couple of conservative outlets are writing stories on this, but I have no expectation this is going to be covered by the mainstream media because the riots are not happening, and there has been no peace deals in the Middle East.
Well, the other part that Black Lives does admit to, and you point out in your article that they are anti-capitalist on the website, stating we are anti-capitalist. So
right.
That also fits with the communist you know, one for all for one type thing. In other words, communes and things of this nature and community farms and so forth.
No. So they are, Alicia Garza, I quote Alicia Garza again, I quote them, right? I'm not putting words in her mouth. She says that capitalism needs to be undone, needs to be replaced. So the opposite of capitalism is communism. You know, corporatism is not the opposite of capitalism. She says that capitalism is bad, that we need to change everything that is being done in America. Well, your listeners need to understand, and I explained this in my book, The Plot to Change America, which, as you know, just came out a month ago. This many good and well-intentioned people are demonstrating because they were outraged at the manner in which George Floyd died. But the people who organized the protests, which some of which then devolved into riots, the people who organized the protest, Black Lives Matter, wants to change everything about America, starting with our capitalist system. And our capitalism is just a word for you and I. I own something, belongs to me because I paid for it and I worked for it. You want to buy it, we agree on a price, and we both walk away happy, right? That is freedom. That is what they want to take away.
What we have, of course, is someone like George Soros, multi-billionaire numerous times over, supporting Black Lives Matter activities and so forth. He's a capitalist. He made his money as a capitalist. So what's the disconnect between those on the left that are very, very rich and those inside BLM and what their supposedly single goal is?
Look, so the Ford Foundation, I believe, I'm pretty sure, has announced that it's going to give $100 million to Black Lives Matter, right?
Right.
That's $100 million. Ford, you know, got the seed money for the Ford Foundation came from Henry Ford, who was a capitalist. In fact, Henry Ford II, you know, resigned from the Ford Foundation in the 60s and wrote them a letter saying, all this money that you're using came from capitalism, and you're spending it to attack and defeat capitalism. I want no part of any more of your foundation. So, yes, a lot of good minds. I've had many conversations today. Why would corporations give so much money to people who say they're anti-capitalist, right? Intel just demanded that a politician return a donation that Intel gave this politician because the politician said that Black Lives Matter was anti-capitalist. Isn't Intel a private corporation? Isn't it a capitalist corporation? Isn't it for profit?
In 30 seconds, I've got to wrap it up. I don't want to cut you short. In 30 seconds or less, I mean, do you see that some U.S. corporations felt that they've been basically extorted, that they had to give the money to BLM or they'd be called racist?
Well, there's some of that, right? Some of them are buying peace. We can only speculate that some of them believe they would do well under a corporate system in which they're one of the monopolies run by a government that controls the economy.
Okay. All right. So as long as they're at the top of the food chain, they're happy. Mike Gonzalez, I appreciate your time, sir, as always.
Thank you, Larry.
And again, the title of the book that you just released.
The Plot to Change America.
The Plot to Change America. Thank you.
Now, Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. Yeah, it's selling well because of all the things that are going on.
Thank you.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This story is one of these things that when you first hear it and you look at it, it's kind of like, what? That's stupid. That doesn't make sense. And then you think, I think it's actually a good idea, but can it be sustained? And the other point is well, let me tell you. It's a story out of San Francisco saying that some expectant Black and Pacific Islander mothers in San Francisco will get $1,000 a month during their pregnancy. $1,000 a month. They call it the Abundant Birth Project, giving what's considered a basic income supplement to 150 Black and Pacific Islander women during pregnancy. They're identifying them as, when I say Black and Pacific, they're talking about Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander mothers and I guess black women in general as well, and how they're deciding who gets what, who gets it, I'm not sure. But they say this will help these women and the babies. Well, obviously, anything we could do to help unborn babies, because here's the issue. Black women have a preterm birth rate of 14% in 2018, 50% higher than white women, 50% higher. Now, when we talk about preterm birth rate, we're talking about babies born before they're due. And obviously, preemies have a higher rate of disability and death. And sometimes the babies are preterm because of inadequate or no health care, and are the mother not having proper prenatal care for understanding. I mean, there are all kinds of things you can get into, but the bottom line is that preterm babies have higher rates of disability and death, and black women have a preterm birth rate of 14% in 2018, 50% higher than white women. The infant mortality rate also highest for black women at 10.8 deaths for every 1,000 births in 2018. San Francisco says black infants died at a rate of 9.6 births out of 1,000 between 2012 and 2014. I think anything we can do to help those kids and the mothers take care of their kids, I'm all for. Giving them $1,000 a month, I don't know. It just, and it's not clear to me, the mayor who's announced it, the Abundant Birth Project, exactly how the money's going to be given out, and supposed to be guaranteed income support. I want to make sure the money goes for the mother's health and the baby's health. But but I'll raise this issue, and I'll make it very strong and direct so there's no confusion. If you're absolutely, truly concerned about the death of black babies, deal with the abortion issue. Deal with the abortion baby and babies and protect the black babies who are aborted. If you're really concerned about it. I wish any mother carrying a child, God bless them and for good health for them and their child. We all should. All right, let me turn to something a little lighter as we close out this section. You know, we're in the election campaign cycle, obviously. You're going to see a lot of ads, and they do a good job poking fun of the opponent when they're promoting their own candidate. That's to be expected. I mean, you shouldn't be surprised. Come on, you know that. If I'm running for campaign, I'm always going to look really good, sharp, and super, and sexy, and handsome, and all that. And my opponent, oh, they will look like they are crawling out of a cesspool. Well, there's a piece written titled Election Choice. It's written, produced, and edited by Meredith and Austin Bragg, starring Austin Bragg and somebody named Remy, a voiceover by Clint Morrison. I want you to hear the audio. I'm going to let you hear the audio. Now, you can't see the pictures that they're showing, but you'll get the idea on your mind, and then I will tell you where you can see the video that goes with this. Here we go.
This election, your choice couldn't be more important. Our candidate is in flattering lighting and full bright color. Their candidate is in grainy high contrast black and white, spotted through a telephoto lens from behind a bush, coming back from God only knows where. Our guy points at the horizon and holds a baby. Their guy doesn't have a baby. Their guy has a golf club. The voiceover for our guy is calm, measured, bright. Their guy gets the lower register, and sometimes we slow down. Our guy has clean headlines and the beautiful lens flare America needs. Here's a scary graph over a photo of their guy awkwardly laughing. Snap zoom. Do you want a snap zoom like that in office? Here's a photo of our guy saluting military veterans. Jump cuts, flashes, static, aggressive colors. You can't trust a guy with graphics like this. Our guy gets stock footage of sunrises and an American flag. Their guy's flag is upside down and on fire. Intercut with overdue bills, war, and a crying baby. Our guy gets doctors and astronauts and stimulus checks. Flatline, an eagle, hurricane, the Statue of Liberty, crime scene tape, Ronald Reagan, a girl running in a wheat field to escape a dangerous sexual predator, welding, atomic bomb. This election, the choice is yours. Their guy or our guy. Inspiring slogan.
It's pretty interesting. And we're going to put up the video at Larry Connors USA Facebook when we wrap our second hour. Quentin's got it ready to go. We'll be posting it at Larry Connors USA Facebook after we finish the second hour. Coming up in the second hour, how do you like all that news coverage from the mainstream media about the peace agreement in the Middle East between Israel and UAE and Bahrain? Yeah, right. How do you like the way the media has been covering the riots in the streets versus protests? And then crazy Pelosi, as Jim Cramer called her. And also sports and politics. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.